Hey, I'm Darren. I'm one of the pastors here at Focus 314. And let me just start by saying welcome to all of you that call this your church home. I love being here. This is my favorite place to be on my favorite day of the week. There is no place that I would rather be than sitting here worshiping with every single one of you. For all of our guests that are here, and you've been looking for a church, you've been looking for a church home, a place that has full of fun people that love Jesus and want to see their life get transformed. If that's you, I just want to be able to say, welcome home, because that's what we are. That's who we are, is a church that loves to have fun and believes in the power and presence of God in a big way. And so we just hope that you're going to be blessed by the message today. It is so great to see every single one of you here today. And what we're doing today is we're in a message series called Uphill Habits. Uphill Habits. We understand that it's a new year, right? Has anybody, you gotten used to saying 2018 yet? Or like, do you still catch yourself saying 2017, right? I'm still like at 2016. I haven't even caught up. 2017 just went by lickety split. But it's a new year. And a lot of times when a new year comes, that a lot of us, we make New Year's resolutions, or we give ourselves goals, something that we want to accomplish in the new year. And why do we do that? Why do we have New Year's resolutions, or why do we have goals in front of us? And the majority of the time, the reason why we do that is because we want to get better, right? We want to become better. Anybody here want to have a better life? Anybody want a better life? Go ahead. That's what I'm talking about, right? Like, I want a better life. Anytime that somebody says better, sign me up, right? Like, I want, you're like, hey, I just found a better hamburger. Oh yeah, tell me where that's at. I want to go right now. Like, that's what I want. I want something that is better. That's not to say that what I have now is bad. That's not to say that my life is bad or that your life is bad, but we always want to get better. We want to strive to become better. And I tell you this, I believe that part of the reason why we want to get better ourselves is because that's what God's desire is for us as well. He wants you to be the best possible version of yourself. He desires that for yourself, for you to become better. But the reality is that many times we have these resolutions and we don't see them come through, do we? Like, we're done. Some of y'all are done with your resolution already, aren't you? It's only 3 weeks in and you're like, I just love cheesecake too much, right? Like, you just can't say no to it, you know? And so some of y'all, it's already gone by the wayside. But why do we see this so many times? Why do we see it that it's so hard for us? We have a resolution, and yet by this time next year, we're doing the exact same thing that we always have. And it's because of this, and this is our thought, is that most of us have uphill hopes, yet we have downhill habits. We have uphill hopes. I have a hope for a new year. I have a hope for a better life. And hopes are great, right? But hopes will only get you so far. That's the motivation. That's not it put into action. We have uphill hopes, but yet we have downhill habits. They just keep us going in the same place. And here's the reason why. It's because downhill habits are so much easier, aren't they? See, the reality is that for many of us in here today, when we say that we want a better life, it's not that we want a better life, we want an easier life. We want an easier life. So we were just having conversations, something that in my life that I like technology, I like gadgets, right? Like, I love gadgets. There's a new gadget. I was just with the pastor earlier this week, and he got his phone out because he got a little notification that somebody was at his door. And I was like, ooh, I want to see who's at your door too. Like, anybody got the Ring thing? You know, like, I'm like, I want to see who's at your door too. You know, like, I like gadgets. And one of the gadgets that I got just at Christmas time, Doorbuster Deals, love Doorbuster Deals, was one of those robot vacuums. Anybody get a robot vacuum, right? Like, some of you are like, I wish I would have if you would have told me there was a doorbuster. I actually got in trouble about that. I was like, oh, I got a great deal. Why don't you call somebody? I'm sorry. I'm very, very selfish that way. But the reason why I got it is because, man, I'm sweeping my floor every day. Come on. Now, who wants to sweep their floor every single day? I don't want to sweep my floor every single day. I want to make my life better by not sweeping the floor every single day. So I got this little robot, and I'm going to tell you something. It has changed my life. Like the other day, it was a Saturday, and I'm sitting down at the chair, and I'm watching a basketball game, and Jenny's like, what are you doing? I'm cleaning. Yeah, right? It was so great. Here's the reality is that many of us in our life, when we say we want a better life, we want a robot vacuum to make our life easier. That's the reality. But how many of you know this, that most of the things in this life that are worth anything, they take work. They take effort. See, we say that we want a better life, but the reality is that most of us just want an easier life. Do you really want a better life today? If you want to have a better life today, then we're going to talk about some habits that are going to be challenging for you. We're going to talk about some habits that are difficult to master. See, we've been talking about these habits a lot, but some of the times it takes a while for us to really get this stuff down deep, right? It takes a while for us to really let it sink in. I don't want just an easier life. I want to have a better life. Who wants a better life today? That's what God wants for you as well. He doesn't want just a better life for you. He wants the best possible you that you can experience. Let's look at Romans 12:2, and it says this. It said, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, or let me say it this way. Don't do what you've always done before. Instead, let God transform you into a new person. That is my hope for you. Is that when you are sitting here next year, that I can look at you in the eye and I can say, man, that's a different person. That is a new person standing there. And the great joy that I have is that many times I can look across this room and I can say, like, man, look at the transformation that has happened right there. And I hope the same can be said next year. And how does this happen? How does God transform us? By changing our behaviors. No, it doesn't, right? See, that's the reality for us, is that many times those resolutions that we make, those goals that we give ourselves, they are all outward. It's all about behaviors. It's all about changing what we are doing. Instead, God says, how are you going to be transformed? By changing the way you think, by changing your heart. It's from the inside out that true transformation happens. And when that happens, then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. We're talking about habits, but we're talking about some really difficult habits. We're not talking about just losing weight. We're not talking about going on a diet. We're not talking about going to the gym. We're talking about some really difficult habits. First week we talked about this habit. We need to focus on the first. We need to focus on the first, where we understand that God is first and foremost. That is a huge habit for all of us. And in fact, I don't say this very often, but if you weren't here for that first week, I want to encourage you, go back onto the church's website, listen to that podcast, because that will transform your life. That we give God the first of our year, which is why we are in 21 days of prayer and fasting right now. Every single day, you can see on the church's website or their social media that we have a prayer emphasis that goes out, or you can take your talk notes right now and flip those over, and you're going to see what the next week looks like for the prayer emphasis, because we want to give God the first of our year. We give God the first of our year, and we give him the first of our month, where we look at our calendar and we look at our budget. We give God the first of our week, which is why we gather here together every single week, that we want to dedicate our lives to God, and we give God the first of our day. The first of our year, the first of our month, the first of our week, and the first of our day, the first 15. Come on, somebody. That's the way to be able to live. We want to be able to focus on the first and give God the first of everything that we have. Last week, we talked about habit number two, which was controlling our thinking. We've got to be able to control our thinking. One of my favorite passages, 2 Corinthians 10:5 says this, that we take captive of those thoughts, right? I turn into Indiana Jones when I start having bad thoughts. I put on my hat and I get my bullwhip and I take captive of those thoughts. And what do I do with them then? I make them submissive to Christ. I make them obedient to Christ. Because so many times it's just like, I feel this way. No, no, no. You feel because you're thinking that. And you've got to be able to control your thinking. See, these are difficult habits, aren't they? These aren't just easy things to do. These are difficult habits, and they are a challenge. But guess what? It's not an easy life. It's a better life. That's what God wants for you. And I can tell you, that's what we want for you as well. That's what our church wants. My hope and desire is to see you become the best possible you that you can be. Man, we have next steps every single Sunday because it talks about the steps, the spiritual journey that God has for you, because we want to see you become the best possible you that you can be. I got to tell you, it's so much that this is how I raise my boys. We got two boys and I tell them all the time, you know why I'm hard on you right now? Because I want you to be the best possible Jew that you can be. Because I want you to become the best possible case that you can be. That's what I want for you. That's what God wants for you. Not to be an easy life, to have a better life. And it's going to take work. It's going to take a challenge. And so today we're talking about habit number three, which is this. We need to keep our life aligned. Keep my life aligned to my purpose. Keep my life aligned to my purpose. Man, I love that terminology, aligned. I keep everything aligned. I don't know about you, but I go to a chiropractor on a regular basis. Anybody go to the chiropractor right here? So some of you who go to a chiropractor, you're like, yes, please, I need to go right now. I go to the chiropractor actually once a week, just to be able to keep everything in line, because I have been to a place that I have been flat on my back. Anybody ever been flat on their back for an entire week because your back is all messed up out of alignment? Yeah, that was me. Why? Because I used and abused my body when I was younger. Everybody says, lift with your legs. Oh, sure. Okay, right? Like, I know better, right? Like, that's because I was stupid teenager. That's what I did. And so now I'm all messed up, right? And so I go to a chiropractor once a week to keep everything aligned. That's what I do. And now here's something that's very interesting. In the time that I've gone to the chiropractor, I've learned some of these amazing things. Is that many times, the place that I am feeling my pain is not the place that is out of alignment. The place that I'm feeling my pain is not the place that is out of alignment. Like, I will go in and I'll say, hey, doc, I'm feeling some pain like right down over here. And he's like, okay, cool. And he pushes up here. And I'm like, no, I said down here, right? Like, it's messed up down here. And then he pushes. He's like, no, how about this right here? And I'm like, hey, that's not cool, man. That really did hurt. That's actually the place, right? Isn't that weird how that happens? And this is what they actually called referred pain, is that pain actually travels. Isn't it weird how that happens? Like, man, my shoulder's all up, messed up. Well, that's because your foot is in the wrong place. Isn't that kind of weird? But it's called referred pain, and it's actual terminology that they have. And here's the reality for us in our life as well, is that many times we are feeling pain in an area, and we are trying to treat the pain instead of trying to treat the problem. So many times we have to align ourselves back to our purpose because we have got out of alignment, and that's the reason why there's pain in your life. See, we're trying to just look at the symptoms instead of looking at the source. We have got out of alignment. You've got to be able to put yourself back into alignment to the purpose that God has for you. I've told you this many times. The two greatest days that you're going to have are the day that you're born and the day that you find out why. You got to be aligned to your purpose, because then when you know your purpose, when you understand your purpose, all of a sudden your decision making becomes so much easier. I understand my purpose, and so I make my decisions of my relationships based off of my purpose. I make the decisions about where my finances go based off of my purpose. I make the decisions of how I'm going to spend my time based off of my purpose. And so many times our life gets out of alignment. We start feeling pain in all of these areas, and then we want to treat the pain. Pastor, how come my relationships are falling apart? Pastor, how come this is going on in my life? Can you just tell me, help me with this area? Man, you got yourself out of alignment. You got to be in the habit of keeping your life in aligned with your purpose. Come on, somebody. Now that's a challenge. Again, we're not talking about an easy life. We're talking about a better life. And that better life, though, takes work. We're not sitting here just trying to be able to say, oh, we got an easy plan for you. No, it's going to be some work. But it's so much better in the long run. Because anything that's worth anything takes some work. Come on, somebody. You ready to do some work today? So here's what I want to do. I want to talk to you about the importance of a purpose. I want to give you some reasons why the purpose is so important. Here's the reasons why. Number one, man, you have a purpose. Some of you in here right now, you don't think, like, oh, I don't have a purpose. I got a job, right? No, you have a purpose. Purpose are not, they're not just set aside for leaders or pastors or people with athletic abilities that they, oh, that's the reason why you were on this earth. You know, LeBron James was born to play basketball, right? Like, it's not just reserved for those individuals. You have a purpose. Every single one of us has a purpose. Let's look at what Ephesians says right here. I love this. For we are God's masterpiece. Everybody say masterpiece. You are God's masterpiece. You are beautifully and wonderfully made. And some of you in here right now are like, well, I feel like more of a Picasso than a Da Vinci, I'll tell you that. Like, both of my eyes are on the same side of my head, you know? Like, if you looked in the mirror, I'm not necessarily a masterpiece. No, you are a masterpiece. And who is? Everybody. For we, not just the person who wrote this, not just Paul, not just Christians, for we are God's masterpiece. And he has created us anew in Christ Jesus. Why? So you can just pay your bills. Why? So I can work for the weekend, right? No. He has created you anew. He has created you as a masterpiece to do good things. You have a purpose. God has placed you on this earth to do good things. He has given you a purpose. And when you begin to understand that you have a purpose, you can begin to live for that purpose. And when did he do this? Yesterday, did he give you a purpose? No. When was it? He planned for us long ago, which means that you have a design. And many of us are living by default instead of living by design. And that's a sermon in a sentence right there, isn't it? Like, that is, you're living by default instead of living by design. You have a purpose. You need to figure out what that purpose is and begin to live it out. What's the importance of a purpose? You have one. You have a purpose. Number two is this. There is competition for your time and your attention. There is competition for your time and for your attention. You know what? Credit card companies have a plan for your money more than you do. Right? What's in your wallet? I'm not telling you what's in my wallet, okay? They want to know what's in your wallet because I want some of it, right? Like, they have something. There is competition that you are going to face for your time and for your attention. And when you're not living according to your purpose, guess what? You're going to be distracted by all of that. You're going to be distracted. Let's look at Ecclesiastes 4:6. I love this. Better is one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. See, many times we are getting competed with, we believe the lie that more is better. We live in a world that more is better. If one car is good, two is better, right? Like, if one donut is good, two are better, especially on day 15 of a fast. Can I get an amen on that one, right? Like, I'm like, that donut looked pretty good over there. I say no to the cinnamon roll, right? If one pair of sneakers is good, 20 is. Some of y'all been in my closet, right? Like, I could get on board with that one right there. If one kid is good, two are. Oh, you know, none of y'all wanted to say that one. Like, I'm not getting tricked by that one, Pastor. You could keep that one for yourself, all right? We got enough kids over in this place, all right? If two wives are good, or one wife is good, two are? Wrong. Okay, wrong. It's just wrong, all right? Two wrong. All right, we're going to have a series about that one next month, okay? I love that. Don't believe the lie that more is better. Less is more. There are so many things that are competing for your time and for your attention. You got to understand the importance of your purpose. Number three is this. Your time here is short. You know, I love science. I love watching Science Channel and actually doing science experiments with our boys. I love the idea of science. And so I'm getting ready to drop a scientific truth on you right now. Everybody in here right now, you're dying. Welcome to Focus 314, the feel-good church, right? But you are, you're dying. We all are. In fact, when we woke up this morning, each of us has one less day to live. Your time here is short. Our time here is extremely short. James 4 starts by saying this. Now he says, listen, you who say today or tomorrow, we're going to go do this or that. That city, spend a year there, carry on business or make money. Basically what it's saying is this, is that, you know, hey, c'est la vie. C'est la vie. I don't have a care in the world. I'm just going to go ahead and do whatever. That's what it's saying right there. Well, hey, watch out. Because you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. Why? Continues on. What is your life? How long do you really have? See, you're just walking around with no purpose. You're walking around like, oh, we're going to do whatever. I don't know. We're going to do this or that. You got no purpose. But you're only a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. It's like, you know, you're sitting there boiling some eggs, boiling some water or whatever. You got the mist that comes up and that vapor is there for a second and then it's gone. And that's what our life is. It's here today and gone tomorrow. We don't know how many days that we have. And what if today could be the day that makes a difference? What if today was going to be a defining day for you? See, the reality is that when you live according to your purpose, every single morning when you wake up could be that day. It doesn't have to be just a special day. It could be every single day. Understanding that time is short. I don't know what tomorrow holds. And so I want to make sure that I'm living every single moment according to my purpose. Our purpose is very important. Our purpose will help us make the decisions that we need to make. Our purpose is what begins to define us. We need to get in the habit of aligning ourselves to our purpose. Can you see the importance of a purpose today? Okay, so then we need to ask ourselves this. All right, great. I'm all on board with this purpose thing. I understand that I need to be able to live to my purpose, but how do I do that, right? So how do we go about mastering the habit of getting aligned to our purpose? Number one, if you got your talk notes, you can fill this blank in, and it's this. We need to decide what is important. First and foremost, if you want to be able to live according to your purpose, man, you got to figure out what's important in your life, right? You got to figure out what's important in your life. Sit down and actually begin to think about it. See, here's the reality is that many of us don't live by what's important. We live by what is urgent. We don't live by what we need to do. We live by what we need to do right now. And we haven't prioritized. You got to figure out what's important to you. Sit down and actually look. What is important in your life? Hey, and you know what? I get the fact that there's things that we have to do that you know, aren't really high on the importance list. You know, like, I don't want to go out into my yard and pull weeds. Anybody want to do that? I don't want to go out and do that. But having a nice house is what's important to me, okay? So that's why I go out and do it. I understand that there's things that you have to do, but too many times that's what we get bogged down in that. No, I have to. I would love to go do this or go do that, but I just don't have any time because we haven't figured out what's important to us. You got to figure out what is important. Sit down and actually decide what is important in my life. Philippians 3, 7 through 8 says this, but whatever gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. Now see, what's happening right now in this passage is he's saying, okay, there was a life before Christ, and now there's a life after Christ. So before Christ, I believed that this was important to me. Now after Christ, and after I'm living my life for Christ, he's saying, you know what? All that stuff before, what I thought was important, I got to rethink this. Some of you got to rethink some stuff, just as Paul did. We got to rethink some stuff. Whatever it is, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I don't want an easier life. I want a better life. I'm okay letting go of all that. I want to strive after more of Jesus. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. Man, all of a sudden, all of those things that I thought were important before, man, they're nothing. All of the stuff that the world was trying to tell me, hey, this is what you got to be working for, it's nothing. All of a sudden, I have reprioritized. I have begun to understand what is truly important. And so many of you in here today, you've bought into the lie that the world tries to tell us, which is this: it's okay to go to church as long as you don't get too crazy. It's okay to be able to have a little faith, but you still need to be able to take everything that you can. Live for the day. And you haven't gone all in for Christ. You haven't got to the place where you said, you know what? It's not just about me going to church. I want to be able to live this out in my life. You've never gone all in for Jesus. Again, I'm not talking about making life easier for you. I'm talking about it being better. That is the abundant life. When you say, all right, everything else, I consider it garbage. Man, it's okay to have nice things. It's okay to have a nice house and nice cars, all that stuff. There's nothing wrong with that. You know me, I like nice stuff, right? Like I do. But it's all garbage compared to living for Jesus. It's all garbage compared to that. It's all garbage when I understand what my purpose is, the purpose that God has for me. That's what I'm truly living for. That's what God wants for your life. How do you master the habit of living for your purpose? Man, you've got to first decide what is important. Make that decision. I want to encourage you today. Go home right after this service. Man, go. If you're out to lunch with some people, when you're sitting down, begin to have the conversation. Now, what's important in your life? Begin to process that yourself. What's important? What is truly important to me? What am I living for? And then begin to actually live for that. See, don't tell me what you do, or don't tell me what you think is important. Tell me what you do, and then I'm going to show you what truly is important for you. How are you living your life? Begin to examine it. You got to decide what is important. Number two is this: you got to give calendar time to the important things. You got to give time, put your calendar and give time to the things that you just decided were important. You actually need to live this out. If you're going to tell me that marriage is important to you, I'm going to ask you the question, okay, how much time have you been spending in your marriage? How much time have you and energy have you put towards your marriage, right? So like, I'm going to ask, like, this is it for my life. Jenny and I, we believe that marriage is very important. And so we want to put time to our marriage and we put it on the calendar. So for my life and for Jenny, our Friday's the day off for us, and so a great thing about our boys and the stage that they're in is that they're both in school Friday morning. And so we don't have date nights, we have date days. Every Friday morning, I go on a date with my wife. If somebody asks me, hey, Pastor, can you meet with me on a Friday? The answer is going to be no, because I have a standing appointment. It is on my calendar. It is blocked off that says, this is where I'm going to be spending my time. And then somebody might say, well, Pastor, but it's an emergency. Yeah, you know what? If I go ahead and I neglect this, then my life is going to be an emergency too. I'm going to be in a place that's messed up, and I'm calling somebody and say, hey, can you come meet with me right now? Because I'm going to put time to my marriage. And so we do that every single Friday. I love going on dates with my wife. In fact, just this past Friday, here's how we do it, is that every other Friday, I take her out, and then the next Friday she takes me out, okay? So, like, the pressure's not always on me or the pressure's not always on her. We flip it around, and I don't know what's going to happen on that Friday, and she doesn't know what's going to happen on the Friday. So, not this Friday. This Friday was my day, but last Friday was her day to plan everything. And then this is what our morning looked like. So, take the boys to school, and I'm cleaning the floor, which means I push start on my vacuum, and so I'm cleaning the floor, and then she says, hey, you need to hurry up and get changed. You need to put on some jeans or pants that you can actually pull up past your knee. okay, like, I don't understand why I need to do that. Okay, I'll do that. So here's what we did is that the first place that we went to, she planned a day of relaxation, a morning of relaxation for us. And so the first place that we went to is she went and took me to get a pedicure. Right? Okay, so some of you men out there right now, that's the exact same face I had, right? Like, I was like, what are you talking about? A pedicure. And if you know me, it's because feet are gross and disgusting, okay? I do not want to look at anybody else's feet. And some of you in here are like, I have beautiful feet. You know what? I've never seen a beautiful pig before either, but I'm sure there is one, okay? I do not like feet. I don't like feet. They're gross. And the thought of somebody else touching my feet, no, I don't want to do it. But I love my wife. And I wanted to be able to spend time with my wife. And so I'm going to go spend time with my wife. She takes me to get a pedicure. And let me tell you. So we walk into this place. And the very first moment that I sat down in this massaging chair, I was like, well, this isn't too bad, right? And then I put, some of you ladies have done this. You're like, yeah, you're about ready to experience something amazing. And then I put my feet in this warm water, little bath thing that has some, like, I don't know, stuff in there that made my feet feel great already, little bath salts or something, you know. I don't know what they are, but that was like, well, that's not too bad either, you know. And then the lady comes, and she gently picks up my leg, and she starts, like, doing some stuff. And I'm like, well, that's not too bad either. And then she takes out this thing that looks like a cheese grater, right? Like, ladies, you know what I'm talking about? Ladies, you know what I'm talking about? Men are like, what are you talking about? So she starts taking this cheese grater, and she starts, like, just rah, rah, rah on my heels. And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, this is gross, man. Like, she's getting off, like, 5 years worth of dead skin, right? And so I actually had to ask the lady. I was like, are my feet disgusting? You know, like, are you getting grossed out right now? And she said, only 30%. And which I took as a passing grade, because that means 70% of my foot is good, right? So my feet got a passing grade. I feel pretty good about the passing grade. And so then she takes this, then I get my feet in this this bag that has this wax in there, right? Like, any ladies, men, yeah? Like, all of a sudden, I'm like, this is fantastic. Like, oh man, all the cares are going right out of my feet right now, you know? And then at the end, I put my shoes on and we walk out, and I was like, my feet have never felt so good in my entire life. And she's like, well, we're not done. We're actually going to go now and get a couple's massage. And I was like, oh, come on now, you know? And so, like, so we went, we got a couple's massage, and I got to tell you what, man, I had so much lotion on me. I'm moisturized for the next 4 years, I think, okay? It was wonderful, and it was amazing, and I just was like, okay, I can take whatever comes at me right now. Because why? Because I love my wife, and she loves me so much that she wanted me to experience that. You need to put some time. You got to put it on your calendar. What is important to you, and you need to make sure you start to do it. Don't just tell me. You need to be able to start to do it. Don't get involved. Don't say, well, you know, my life is too busy. I got so many things going on that I can't do this. Because many times you're saying yes to everything, and you can't say no to or yes to the best things. You just got to be able to start putting your time to where you really think it's important. Look here at Luke 12, 34. Many times we think about this in terms of money, but it comes to our time as well. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where you spend your money is where your heart is. Where you spend your time is where your heart is. There is a competition going on. You've heard me say this before. If the enemy can't make you bad, he will make you busy. That's what he wants to do. He is competing for everything that you have. Another famous author, John Maxwell, who's written over 75 books on leadership, great pastor. He has amazing teaching, and this one is called Today Matters. And in that book, he begins to talk about the rule of five, which says this, that if you go out to a tree, and you pick up an axe and you want to be able to get this tree to come down, then all of a sudden many of us will just sit there and we'll just start hacking away at it. And you're sitting there hacking away, and you're chopping away, and you're chopping away, and you're chopping away. And the next thing you know, you are worn out and tired, and you don't want to accomplish anything. You got blisters all over, and you haven't taken care of yourself, and you're like, oh, this tree's never going to come down. And so many times we just quit. I'm going to move on to the next one. That wasn't for me. So John Maxwell says this. He says, you know what? If you go out there and every single day you pick up that axe and you take 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you set the axe down and you walk away. And then you wake up in the morning and you go back out and you take 5 more swings. And then you wake up the next day and you go out and you take 5 more swings. And every single day you take 5 more swings. What's going to happen? Pretty soon, the tree's going to come down. And you're better for it. You've accomplished what the goal was. That's what life is like, is that many times we're just sitting there trying to grind our wheels. We're just trying to go, instead of just being able to say, you know what? I just need to be able to do these 5 swings. Just these 5 swings right here. And at the end of my days, I'm going to accomplish what God has for me. The rule of 5. And so what he says is that you got to figure out 5 things. What are 5 things every single day that you need to accomplish? And then make sure that you put time to it. The rule of 5. Let me just go ahead and give you my rule. This is my rule of 5 right here. Number 1 is this. Number first and foremost, every single day, this is what I want to do. I want to spend time with God. That's what's important to me, is I want to dedicate my life to God. And so the first thing that I need to do is I need to spend time with God. It's my first 15. You guys have heard me talk about that, what the first 15 looks like, but I need to spend time with God. Number 2 is this, is I need to study God's word. Because I got to tell you something, I'm not that smart. And every single week you expect me to come up here and give you something, right? Like, so I got to put some work into this thing, you know, like it doesn't just flow out. Yeah. I make it look easy, don't I? No, I'm just playing with you on that one. But no, it is hard. And so every single day, I got to be studying God's word. That's just reality for me. That's what's important. This is what I need to do. Number 3 is this. I want to love those that are close to me. I want to make sure that I'm with my family. I want to make sure that I'm loving the people that are close to me. That's important to me. And I want to make sure I accomplish that every single day. Number 4 is this. I want to make a difference in someone's life. The blessings that God has given me are not just for me, but so that I in turn can be a blessing to somebody else. Now, that's a lot easier said than what you might think. Because there's sometimes when I'm sitting there driving and I'm thinking about somebody. And I'm asking myself the question too, have I made a difference in somebody's life today? I don't know if I have. And so what I do is I'll just send out a text message to somebody. Hey man, I'm praying for you today. I hope that your day is blessed. I know you've been dealing with this thing right now, and so how are you doing in that? And now all of a sudden, man, I've just reached out. And I don't know about you, but when I get a text message like that, it makes a huge difference in my life. I want to make a difference in somebody's life. And then the last one is this. I want to take care of myself. Because if I don't take care of myself, then I'm no good to anybody, right? I'm a wreck myself. And so I got to make sure that I take care of myself, which is, that's the hardest one for me, actually. That's the hardest one, especially some of you that know, I've been dealing with an arm injury for a year, and so I haven't been able to, I don't get to go to the gym and work out, and so taking care of myself means I binge on Netflix. That's what I do right now. Like, some of you are like, Pastor, don't, that's not okay. I know! I was meeting with a pastor this past week, and he was asking me about that injury, and he's like, so what do you do to exercise now? And I was like, nothing. Right? Like, I got one sympathy laugh because you don't know what else to do. Some of you are like, you need to do something, Pastor. I know, right? Like, this is hard for me. I'm just telling you, just being honest, just calling out what it is. And I'm not saying that this has got to be your list. I'm just using this as an example. Why? Because I've gone through the discipline of trying to figure out what's important, and then I want to give calendar time to what's important. Everybody tracking with me right now. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says this, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. You're giving calendar time to what's important and allowing God to renew you from the inside out. That's where true change comes from. If purpose is important and we want to put this to a habit, what's the third thing that we need to do? We need to eliminate the non-essentials. The last thing that we need to do is we need to eliminate the non-essentials. The first thing, if you want to be able to live according to your purpose, you've got to be able to sit down and figure out, okay, what is my purpose? What is important to me? What am I living my life for? Once you've decided that, then you say, okay, now I need to put calendar time. I've got to be able to put this on my calendar, begin to actually live my life out to what is important. And then the last one is you've got to look at your life and you got to say, okay, now what are all these other activities that are pulling me away, and then eliminate them from your life. Stop doing them. Simple as that. Hebrews 12:1 says this, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything." See, many times we just jump to the sin that so easily entangles. But we understand that there are a lot of good things in this world that are going to pull you away from the best things. And so you need to throw off everything that hinders you from your purpose. There are a lot of things that you can say yes to. Let me teach you a very powerful word. And that word is no. Everybody say no. Say no to some stuff. You've got to be able to say no to some areas. This is what it looks like for me and my wife. When we began to build our family, when we started having kids, we began to look at other friends of ours that had kids already, or maybe some older people that had some kids longer away than what we did. And every time we would talk to them, their kids were like running their life. It was like activity after activity after activity. We got to go do this and we got to go do that. And hey, you want to go hang out? No, can't do that. We got our kids doing this thing over here. And Jenny and I just looked at each other and we're like, that sounds horrible, right? Like, I don't. So we decided that when our kids come into our life, they're coming into our life, not us going into theirs, okay? Like, that's just how it is in my house. My kids don't run my house. I do, all right? Like, that's just me, and that's my wife. And so what we decided is that this is what's going to be for our life. This is what's going to be for our kids. That we said at that moment, we decided that our kids, they get one activity at a time. That's it. You get one activity at a time. So my oldest son right now, he's 9 years old, and he wanted to go into robotics club. So he's in robotics club, and now he wants to start golfing. Guess what? No, you're not. You're going to do it when robotics club is done. If you want to start golfing when robotics is done, then that's fine. But I'm not going to give you two. You don't get two in my house. I got my youngest son. Now he's in flag football. He wants to be able to flag football. And then he says to me, Dad, I think I should start soccer too. No, you're not. Right? Like, sure, you can when flag football is done. You only get one. Why? Because otherwise, my life would be dictated by my kid's schedule. I'm not doing it. I'm not going to do it. You know why? Because otherwise, I'm going to end up in a place where I'm sitting there dragged away from my purpose. And I'm going to start to feel pain in my life. I'm going to start to quarrel with my wife. I'm going to start to feel neglected. I'm going to start to do these other things. All of a sudden, my finances are going to start to get into a mess. All of a sudden, I'm going to start making wrong decisions with relationships that I'm in. Why? Because all of a sudden, I got way away from my purpose. And so we had to say no. Now, I understand this, that every single one of us that has children in here right now, this is our desire, that we want what's best for our kids, right? That's what we want what's best for our kids. Let me ask you this question. Is there anything better for your children than you? Is there anybody that is more equipped to raise your children than you? Spending time with you is vastly important. Sorry, coach, we're leaving. Sorry, coach, it's time for me to be able to have time with my children. Why? Because we're going to eliminate the non-essentials. Now, that's hard. I get it. I get that it's hard. But we just had to make that choice. Now, here's the reality. I'm not telling you that you have to live your life exactly like I do. I'm not telling you that you need to be able to live your life and raise your children the exact same way that my wife and I do. I'm not telling you that. That's not what I'm saying. I'm using that as an example. That my wife and I, we sat down and we talked about this. That I looked at my life and I said, okay, what's important for me? What is it that God is calling me towards? I have a conversation with my wife and I say, babe, we need to be on the same page. Let's make sure that we're on the same page. What is important for you? What's important for me? Now what's important for our family? And where are we going? So I'm not telling you that you need to be able to live your life exactly like we do. And I'm not telling you that you need to make the decisions for your children the exact same way that I've made decisions for mine. I'm not saying that to you. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that you need to think about it. You need to decide what's important. You need to be able to be on the same page with your spouse. You need to be able to think through these things, put it on the calendar, begin to live it out, and say no to all the stuff that wants to pull you away. That's what you got to do. Don't live like I do. Live the way that God has called you to live. He wants you to have a better life. In fact, more than that, not just a better life, he wants you to have the best life possible. Here's our big takeaway, Romans 12:2, our main theme verse. And I want to read it out of the Message because I love the way it says it right here. Fix your attention on God. Come on, somebody. Don't look at what the world is trying to do. Don't look at your neighbors and say, I need to live this way. Fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you, your purpose in life. Quickly respond to it. Think about what he wants and then respond. Begin to live it out in your calendar. Say no to the non-essentials. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to levels of immaturity. How many of you know some immature people around? We got too many grown children that are living life that are all messed up, right? He wants you to be in a life of maturity. God brings the best out of you. He wants the best you that there possibly is. It is not an easy life. It's the best life. It's the abundant life. But you've got to put these things into practice, and it develops well-formed maturity. He wants you to grow up. He wants you to be the best possible you that there can be. But to do so, you've got to think about it. You've got to put in place what is important in your life. You need to be aligned to your purpose. You've got to put those things into place. Frankie, you want to be able to come on up? You got to put those things into place. Think about what it is. Look at your calendar. Make sure that you're living according to what your calendar is. And then when something comes up and it's going to pull you away from it, say no. Say no. I got a date with my wife coming up. And somebody's going to call me up. Pastor, we got an emergency coming up. What are we going to do? No, I'm not doing it. I'm going to say no. That's just the reality of it. And it's not because I don't care for you. It's because I know that if I fall in that place, that it's going to be easier for me to say yes the next time too. It's going to be so much easier for me to be able to say, oh, babe, you know what? Those Fridays just don't work anymore. We got to be able to rearrange our schedule. And the next thing we know, we're not going on dates. That's what happens, right? It's so easy. It's so easy to get tangled up in the things that hinder us from what's truly important. What is important for you? What is the purpose that God has for you? You can only be the one to decide that. But you've got to actually sit down and think about it. And then begin to look at your calendar again. Where am I spending my time? Where are my finances going? What do my relationships look like? What are all those things that take effect? Is it living according to my purpose? To what God wants for me? And then if it's not, if it's non-essential and it's pulling you in a different direction, simply say no. God wants the best for you. He wants you to become the best possible you that you can be. Church, can you please stand with me today? My hope for you is this, is that a year from now, when we're standing in this place, and we're having a conversation, my hope is that I can look at you in the eye and I'm going to see a new person. Is that God is challenging each of us to step it up. God is challenging each of us to become a new person, to be transformed, not by our might, but by his power. When we let God transform us, he wants the best for you. He didn't say he wants the easiest for you. He wants the best for you. My hope for you today is that you will keep your life aligned to your purpose. Church, I just want to ask you to go ahead and close your eyes. I'm going to pray for us right now. And I'm going to, after I'm done praying, Frankie's going to lead us in a song. And I just want to ask you that as he's singing through that you'll just take that time to even begin to process this message. You don't just let it fall away, but you'll just take time to begin to think about what truly is important. and take time to really process this out. And this is just the beginning of that. And that you're going to be able to take this later on and actually have a conversation with somebody. God, I just want to come before you right now. God, I want to ask for forgiveness in my life when I get off track and I make decisions that aren't based on my purpose, that I will get realigned with my purpose that you have for me. And God, for every single person that's in here right now, I pray that you will begin to well up inside of their heart and their mind of what their purpose is if they don't know what it is. God, that they will take the step to begin the spiritual journey with you. And God, if there's somebody in here right now that man, they're feeling pain, they're feeling some trouble in their life, that they understand that they can look at this now and say, man, it's because I've gotten off track. I haven't been aligned to my purpose, and I've let so many other things dictate my life, and I've let what the world is trying to throw at me dictate my life and my decisions. And God, right now, I want to ask for forgiveness of that, and I want to ask that I could get realigned with the purpose that you have for me. God, right now, I want to pray for anybody in this room that they haven't been aligned to the purpose that you have because they haven't been aligned to you. They've never made the decision to follow you. And God, I want to pray for them right now that it's so simple. This is the easy thing that you give us, that to have a relationship with you, that in our heart we believe it and then we just simply say yes. Today, God, I pray that every single person in here will say yes to a relationship with you. God, we love you. Amen.